This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Christian Crusaders welcomes you to our weekly radio ministry during our September anniversary month. We are celebrating 71 years of continuous radio broadcasts. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our worship today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's program will be given at the close of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us this day and invite you to tune in to this radio station every Sunday for worship with us.
Someone has said, "We are what we think." What occupies our thoughts? We're going to talk about this in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God, we have been made in your image, and we have a mind with which we can think. And sometimes, O God, we realize, and so we confess it, that our thinking gets all mixed up. We pray today that through the power of the Holy Spirit, working in your word, we may learn what our thoughts should be and how we should give glory and honor to you, Lord Jesus, who has come to suffer and to die and to be raised again, that our sins might be taken away. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to visit with you today about the question, what occupies your thoughts? You've heard that old question, a penny for your thoughts, that is often addressed to a person who is deep in thought, looking out into outer space, oblivious to everything that is around him, and you just ache to know, what is that person really thinking? The mind is a very, very powerful instrument, organ, or whatever you may want to call it. We are created in such a way that we can think. We are created in the image of God, and He has given to us a mind that makes it possible for us to think and to make a decision. Sometimes that mind can become very, very confused. And we can say or do or think things that we hardly believe we would ever do. Sometimes people will say, that thought that you just expressed is vicious, or that spot is paranoid. It is not even psychologically sound. Well, sometimes when our thinking gets, like they say, pardon the expression, stinking, we realize that it's time for a vacation, or at least a day off from work, to get away from it all, to get into a new environment, and to see new things and talk with different people and things like that. That's a part of taking care of our body. And that is what St. Paul is talking about today as he is closing his letter to the Philippian congregation. This is my text. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Now, when you read those great words of St. Paul, you have to ask the question, why do you think he closed his letter in that style? I am thoroughly convinced that St. Paul had a lot of time to think. After all, you know, he was sitting in jail. And when you sit in jail, and there probably are very few who come to see you, and don't have too much to read, if anything, all you can do is think. And Satan was not about to leave St. Paul alone. So what were some of the things that he thought about? Well, certainly some of the congregations that he had started had to have a top priority in his thought process. And let's say that because Epaphroditus is there with him and he is from Philippi, he began to think about the Philippian congregation. And during the days that Epaphroditus was there with Paul, they without a doubt had done a lot of discussion. And so as they had finished that discussion and Epaphroditus came back the next day and Paul said to him, you know, I was thinking about Philippi after you left last night, Paul. There were some vicious people there. There were some people who were out to get everything that I had done, and they did not want those people who had come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Lord to continue in that fashion. They wanted to have them back in old Judaism. They had to be circumcised. They had to obey all the laws. And maybe they might even have said that Paul isn't even, he doesn't have the credentials to be a teacher. Well, I'm telling you, Epaphroditus, I put it in the letter, but when you get back to Philippi, you tell those people, and now here's a quote from the third chapter of Philippians, verse 1, look out for the dogs. He calls them dogs. That's not very good thinking. You can think ill, probably, of somebody, but to call him a dog, when the dog had the interpretation that it did have in that part of the world at that time. Today, dogs are looked upon with great respect. I watch some of the people who have dogs in our retirement center. They love those dogs. And if they get sick, they rush them off to the veterinarian, just like they used to rush their children off to the pediatrician. They are concerned that the dog gets exercised every day. So rain or snow or whatever it might be, they're out there with their dogs. But in Paul's day, these dogs ran in packs, and they went about snapping and biting and looking for food. There was nothing that could be lower than a dog. And yet Paul, in this particular verse in Philippi, says, look out for those dogs. It wasn't really right to call a person created in the image of God a dog. Well, I'm glad that Paul had a humanness to him, because that means that we can identify with him and he with us. So Paul probably was bothered about that. And he thought, I shouldn't do it. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are noble. That's what I ought to be thinking about. So he moved right away to that type of people who were trying to rip the Philippians out of a relationship with God. And then one day when he was with Epaphroditus, he said, Epaphroditus, how is Lydia? What a pure person she really was. When Silas and I came to Philippi, she was one of the first that we met. And we talked to her about the Lord Jesus Christ, and she considered it, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, she came to faith in him. And she was one of the leaders of the church, and I know from our conversations that we've had together, she continues to lead. When you get home, you tell her what she meant to me. You tell her how God used her and is using her yet in that Philippian congregation. Oh, she's great. You remember Epaphroditus? Silas and I stayed there. We didn't have any place to live. We were going to camp out, I guess, until Lydia said, why don't you come over and share my house? And you can make it your headquarters while you're here. And then probably the next day when Epaphroditus came back, he said, 2 o'clock this morning I woke up, Epaphroditus, and I got thinking about the jailer. And Epaphroditus says, well, he's a good friend of mine, the jailer. Now, the jailer at one time was a kind of a vicious fellow. He was working for the government, and Paul had some trouble, and we can't get into it now. Time does not permit. But he landed in jail. And in jail, he and Silas were put into the inner cell. They were put into stocks, and they were beaten. Well, during the evening hours of the night or whatever it might have been, there was an earthquake, and the doors of the prison flew open, and the prisoners were free to escape. So the jailer, believing that he would be very severely disciplined, was about to take his own life when Paul said, stop! Don't do it! We're all here! And then the jailer looked at him and he said, because he had heard Paul and Silas singing hymns during the night, he said, what can I do to be saved? And Paul said, without beating any drums, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. And then the jailer took him home, and he washed his wounds, and he fed him. And Paul talks some more about the Christian gospel. And the family received Christ, the whole family, and at a late hour that night, they were baptized. From that day on, that Philippian jailer was an entirely different person. And Paul was wondering, those are some good thoughts. How is he? Greet him from me, will you, Epaphroditus? He was happy to think of what the Holy Spirit had done in that man's life. The thoughts are true, noble, lovely, and gracious. On these things, think, Paul said. Now, what about us? What occupies our thoughts? Let me tell you of an experience I had the other day. I sat down in our living room, and on the coffee table that we have there was a lovely new book that my wife had just purchased. It was entitled, An Artist with a Core of Discovery. It tells the history of Lewis and Clark's journey into the Northwest. Remember, it was in the early 1700s that Lewis and Clark and 40 other men found the way to the Missouri Basin, and they began to follow it up into the Northwest. Prior to that time, the Northwest was not known by our country at all. But they didn't take any artists along to paint what they were seeing. Some of the men in the group had written journals, and so they had a lot of good notes. But that's about the way that it was. Nothing had really been depicted. Until there was a man by the name of Charles Fritz, who is one of the Midwest's greatest artists, wanted to do something to depict this great discovery of Lewis and Clark. And so he did that, painted right on scene, went right out into the wilderness and painted these pictures of what Lewis and Clark and his company must have seen. The painter, as I said, is Charles Fritz. He is one of the country's most respected Western artists, the book tells us. He seeks to give the expedition of Lewis and Clark, as well as the people they encountered and the land they traveled through, an artist's vision of what surrounded them. Now, what makes the book extra special for us, and that without a doubt is why my wife purchased it, but am I glad she did. What makes it extra special for us is that while we do not know Charles Fritz, the artist himself, his mother is a college friend of my wife's, who together with several other college friends are in regular contact with each other via the mail. And his mother had told about the work of her son, and proud she should be and is, I'm sure. Can you imagine how proud that mother and father must have been of their son and how personal this book really is for them, but for a host of friends, including ourselves? And so I'm going to spend a lot of time with that great book, An Artist with a Core of Discovery, and I recommend it to you. After being immersed in this work of art for a couple of hours that night, I went back to my study. My mind was refreshed. I had been in another environment, right in my own living room. Well, I have to wonder, what if the only thing on the coffee table that night was the news magazine? I'm sure that I would have picked it up, and rightly so, because we have to know something about what's going on in our world. But I'm sure that my heart could have gone back to the study very heavy, for I would have heard of all of the bad things that are happening in our country and all of the things that could destroy us. We have to accept some of these things. They can't be avoided. But Paul writes, fill your mind with good things. And that's what I was doing when I was reading that book and looking at those gorgeous, gorgeous pictures. Well, we look at our world from a spiritual standpoint, and it isn't very pleasing. We see that we live in a day that is decaying spiritually. Unbelief has gone rampant. People today do not argue very much, at least where I go, about the Christian faith and some of its great teachings. They simply ignore it. Simply ignore it. It's nice if you want it. I am not that particularly interested in it. Sunday morning comes, and here they have the opportunity to go and hear a message about a Savior who loves them, a Savior who wants to turn their lives around and help them out. Simply leave it and go their own way. Do something else on Sunday morning. It's no different than Monday or Tuesday. They have beautiful Bibles in some of those homes, but they are biblically illiterate. You could quote, as one person said, from Shakespeare with few absolutes or anything else, just Shakespeare's writings and say that it came from the Gospel of Matthew, and the average person who sits in church might not think that it is not from the Scriptures. So you see, there is biblical illiteracy. There's moral decay. We live in a day of relativism with few absolutes. And now we have to be pluralistic. Pluralism runs rampant. And we say that we can no longer just be dealing with one religion. One is as good as another. We are completely ignorant regarding the way of salvation, that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. If you ask a person if they're going to heaven, they hope so. They don't know how they're going to get there, but they hope they will. That's as far as it goes. But there's another side of this whole picture. And I, as a pastor, can sit there and say, oh, look how bad things really are. But I need to be encouraged a little bit. And when I look around, and I don't have to look far, I'm thrilled with many of our church people. They are vocal about their faith, of all ages, our young people. When I was the age of some of these teenagers, I did not speak out as some of them are doing today, saying a good word for Jesus Christ. They're faithful in their worship. At our church, at the last service, it's contemporary worship. And here come these young high school and college kids. They come into church. Many of them come alone. Where is their father and mother? Did they go to an earlier service? Or in some cases they did, whereas a little bit more traditional. But in many cases, father and mother are home. They have not bothered to go to church. But hundreds of those young people are up there worshiping God. Those are good things. Those are the things that God wants us to think about. They are things that are worthwhile. They are positive. We can take Jesus very seriously if we will only look around and see that he is grabbing the hearts of a lot of these people. Many of them have become very concerned about the underprivileged and the poor, and they're doing something about it. Building houses, getting food, clothing, not only at home, but around the world. I tell you, friend, that's a healthy mind. And so Paul, wanting us to be healthy people, said, it's not only physical that you have to deal with, you have to deal with it spiritually as well. So I would urge you to take seriously what Paul has said to us this day. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Is that what your mind is full of? If it isn't, let God help you with it. Amen. Thank you. Father in heaven, there are so many great things that are happening today as your word is proclaimed and the Holy Spirit motivates us. Help us to think about these things, lest we become discouraged and are not able to function. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. It is our prayer that today's message has brought you spiritual comfort for the week ahead. September is anniversary month for Christian Crusaders. Our first broadcast was aired September 6, 1936 on WMT Radio, live from Trinity Lutheran Church in Waterloo, Iowa. Christian Crusaders is the eighth oldest continuous radio ministry in the United States. We are grateful to you, our listener, for making this ministry possible with your financial support and prayers. To help celebrate our 71st anniversary, Christian Crusaders is excited to offer a set of five gospel-centered messages by Reverend Homer Larson on DVD. These 20-minute video programs are appropriate for church pulpit supply and individual or group Bible studies. They are available by request with a suggested donation of $10 per program. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. In the Waterloo-Cedar Falls, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor on Christian Crusaders for the past 45 years.